All right. So welcome for those listening online. Andrew's in Florida, grunting worms. So he asked me to cover in today, for him today. This is Palm Sunday, and maybe if I had looked in the calendar and saw exactly what day he asked me to teach, that I might have done something on Palm Sunday, but it won't be. So hopefully this is what the Lord has been speaking to me about, and that you will gain something from it also. But this is the time that we remember the Lord's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the last week of his life. So, but what I would talk to you about is when I became a Christian 30 plus years ago, I was encouraged to know the scriptures for myself. And I was, that was one thing I've always been so thankful for, that church of stressing that we would know the scriptures for ourselves, that we would read the scriptures, listen to scriptures, and just envelop ourselves in the truth of the Word of God. And I remember the first group that we read through the scriptures, they asked, you know, who would like to read through the scriptures in 1 year? And so a bunch of us joined a group, so we all kind of like encouraged one another in that fact. And there was one gentleman named Bob that he was retired, and he finished reading through in like May. And I'm like, it's not fair. You don't work. You have to read through it twice. So, but it was one of the greatest blessings that I received from that church, was the desire and the habit of just reading scriptures. So today I'd like to start off in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death.'" So I'm going to focus on the second half, but of the fact that the word of their testimony, they overcame the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, by the word of their testimony. But the beginning part of that, it says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And as we go into this week of remembering Jesus Christ, again, Palm Sunday, going into Jerusalem, but his crucifixion, if it wasn't for that sacrifice, we would still be dead in our sins. If it wasn't for that sacrifice, we would have no hope. And truthfully, if it was never for that sacrifice, there would be no testimony. There would be no testimony that we could hold on to help us to overcome the accuser of our enemy, or the accuser of our soul. So the word testimony, it can be a formal, written, or spoken statement, especially one given in the court of law. It's evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something. It's a first-hand authentication of a fact or a public recounting of a religious conversion or experience. So a testimony can either be written, like the Word of God, a book that somebody's written about what God has done in their life, or it can be verbal. We can hear, whether it be a message, whether it be somebody's testimony that they speak to us. But today I'm going to focus on the testimony of the Word of God and what God has shown us in His Word. So I'm going to start off where the children of Israel are just about to... They've exited Egypt, and they're about to go to the Promised Land. And before they go in, Moses sends the spies in to see. He says, go in and check out the people. You know, are they strong or are they weak? He says to go in and check out the land. Is it a good land or is it bad? you know, check out the cities. Are the people there? Are they just in camps or are they in strongholds? So in Numbers chapter 13, it continues on. The spies have gone in and they've just come back. And it says, "We went into the land where you sent us. Truly it flows with milk and honey." And they brought back their fruit, which was enormous. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. And the cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." So these spies come back and they start to tell the whole congregation of Israel what they saw. And yes, at first they say, yeah, it is an amazing land. But, so they saw the difficulties. And I can just imagine all the people, you know, in the congregation listening to the fact that the people are strong, the cities are well fortified. It's kind of like, what do we get ourselves into? Why do we, you know, why do we leave where we were? Yeah, it was bad, but what are we going into this? But at that point, in verse 30, it says, "Then Caleb quieted the people. He quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let's go up at once and take this possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" And that stood out to me there. It says, you know, how many times do we get the inspiration to do something? Whether it's what God wants to do or just something that we need to do, but we don't do it at once. You know, Caleb said, you know, like, no, let's not think about what they told us. Let's go up at once. Let's not second guess. Let's go up and take this land. But the problem is the other men that went up with him said in verse 31 to 33, says, no, don't listen to Caleb. We're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, yeah, lo, the land which we have gone and spied out, the land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw are men of great stature. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, that came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And we were also in their sight. I mean, how many times have we been in a group of people or a committee, whether it's a group of people at work or somebody trying to get a task done where people, you bring up an idea, it's like, oh, hey, let's do this. And they're like, oh, no, we can't do that. You know, it's like that's impossible. Or you're not even trying to get the whole group to do it, but you say, this is what I think I'm going to do. And the group of people are like, you can't do that. What are you, crazy? And they just steal away. Or, unfortunately, sometimes myself, I'm like, I can't do that. So we tell ourselves we can't even do it. We take away, and it just saps our strength. But after that, in Numbers 14, 6 to 9, it says, "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephun, who were among those who spied out the land," it says, "they tore their clothes. They spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly a good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." As we face our temptations and the trials of this world and the things that we want to do or feel we're led to do, are we going to listen to what the majority of society tells us what is possible, what's not possible, what we should do, what we shouldn't do? Or are we going to listen to the few that possibly are faithful? Those two out of the 12 that knew, if God is with us, who can be against us? We can do anything. And the other thing is, if the thing set before us wasn't overwhelming, we wouldn't need God. I mean, I so many times go to do something and it's like, I can handle this. And it's just like, oh Lord, help me. Help me to realize that even the simplest things, I need you with me. I need you to show me how to do it so that it goes smoothly. But as the story goes, they listened to the 10 and not to Joshua and Caleb. And it caused the people to wander in the wilderness. So at the end of this wandering time, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, God is speaking to Moses and says, "Now rise and cross over the valley of Zered." So we crossed over the valley of Zered, and the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them, for indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So this, the next scriptures here is where the Lord spoke to me about this message. It's something where, like I said, I've read through the scriptures many times, but this is the first time this section of scripture ever stood out to me. So it goes on in verse 16. "So it was, when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people, that the Lord spoke to me, saying, 'This day you are to cross over at Ar, the boundary of Moab. And when you come near the people of Ammon, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession. That was also regarded as the land of giants. Giants formerly dwelled there. But the Ammonites called them Zamzumim, a people as great and as numerous and tall as the Anakims. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them and dwelt in their place, just as he had done for the descendants of Esau, who dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them. They dispossessed them and dwelt in their place, even to this day. In Avim, who dwelt in the villages as far as Gaza, and Kaphtorim, who came from Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their place." So the Lord knew all of the men of war that did not believe Joshua and Caleb were gone. So their children are raised up. They are now the warriors. They are now the ones that are going to be in this army. And the Lord knew, okay, your parents were fearful and didn't think they could go into the land. They were afraid of the Anakim because they were giants. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. So the Lord in His kindness tells Moses to tell the people, look what I did for you, the descendants of Lot, your second cousins, 400 years removed. It was, they had to overcome the giants in the land that they had. And also, look what I did for your half-brother Esau's descendants. They also displaced the giants. So, you will also be able to displace the giants that your parents were afraid of. It was also, as they continue on in Deuteronomy 24, it says, "Rise, take your journey and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. This day I will began to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven. Who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you?" Our enemy wants us to be afraid of him. Our enemy wants us to cower in fear. Society wants us to cower in fear. Society wants to shut us up. But God wants our enemies to tremble. God wants our enemies to be in anguish because of us. So it continues on. It says in Deuteronomy, or it doesn't continue, it goes back. It's actually, it was one of those things when I was first reading this. It was like I started off in Deuteronomy 1 and it actually flip-flops the order of actual events. So going back to Deuteronomy 1, 3 to 4, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as his commandments to them. After they had killed Sihon, king of Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtaroth in Edrei." So for 2 years, so it was 38 years when he says, okay, all of your parents are dead. All those of war that did not believe are gone. So for 2 years, the Lord has been encouraging them and showing them, look, I took care of the giants for your relatives. I'm going to take care of the giants for you. You're going to learn to war. You conquered two kings already in these 2 years before you crossed the Jordan to take the land which I promised to your fathers. So for 2 years, the Lord has been preparing them and building up their faith of what He was going to do for them. So, because it says in Deuteronomy 1:8, "See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land for which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and to their descendants after them." It was at this point that we heard in the scriptures that Moses rehearses the whole thing over again. He goes through the whole thing about sending the spies in. He goes into the whole thing about them not believing and having to wander the wilderness for all these years. He even goes through at this point in time what the Lord told him 2 years ago. Remember, God destroyed the giants of your relatives. There were giants where the descendants of Lot were, and I got rid of them for you, for them. There were giants where Esau lives, and I got rid of the giants for Esau. God is building our faith, or building the faith of the children of Israel, that they can believe, okay, yeah, our parents were afraid of Anak and his descendants. Like, okay, well, you know what? God's done it before. He'll do it again. And that's why it's so important to continually go over the Word of God. I mean, it's like I said before, this is the first time that I ever saw this part where the Lord was telling them, this is what I've done. Look what I did for Lot and for Esau. I mean, I always read through them and I said, okay, yeah, don't bother Moab, and because those are, you know, Lot's descendants. And it's just like, somehow I just skimmed right over the fact that there were giants there also that the Lord had to take care of. So then after the death of Moses, Joshua was going to be the leader. And the Lord comes to instruct him before crossing Jordan. And he tells him in Joshua 1, 8 through 9, it says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord our God is with you wherever you go." We need to constantly remind ourselves what God tells us is true. The devil constantly tries to lie to us, to deceive us, to tell us, as he told to Eve, you know, Eve, "God did not say, you know, that's not what." So, as we hear the word as we read the Word, as we hear about other people, what God has done in their lives, whether we hear a testimony or whether we read somebody's book, what God has done, it builds our faith and keeps us established in what God will do. Psalm 19, 9 through 16, it instructs us, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word? With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes and I will not forget your words. It is God's word that guides us, that keeps us, that holds us on that steady, straight path. And I've always liked the Bereans, so I had to throw it in. So in Acts 17, verse 10. So Paul and Silas had to be sent away, so they went away by night to Berea. And it says, when they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. And it says, these were more fair-minded, or more honorable in another translation, than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, and also not a few Greeks, prominent women as well as men. So after this message, search the scriptures. Find out if these things are so. As we hear someone teach, as we hear someone preach, as we hear something on the radio, as we read a book, as we read what somebody says, what God has done, we need to search the scriptures to see, are those things true? Do they line up with what the Word of God says? Just because somebody writes down something and says that God did it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true or this is the Word of the Lord. We need to know for ourselves and be able to verify, as the Berean did, okay, yeah, what you're saying lines up. This makes sense. I'm going to believe in it. And James warns us in 1 James 21, it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful, but doer the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. This brings me back to what Caleb said. Let's go up at once. When we see something in the Word of God, when the Lord pricks our hearts, if there's something in our heart that we need to deal with, that we need to correct our ways, we need to do it right away. We need to search out and confirm that it's true, but we need to act. Otherwise, we'll forget. There are so many times where the Lord will give me a thought, and if I don't write it down right away, I'll be like, oh, what did he say again? It's so easy to forget something that the Lord speaks to our hearts, something that we hear that we need to do. And so the last thing is the challenge that we have is to be like Stephen. When he was selected for service, it was reported that he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And as he served in ministry, there were those that came against him and they brought a charge of blasphemy to the priests, to the leaders of Israel, that he was not doing what was right in the eyes of the Jewish leadership. So at that point, Stephen, in his testimony at his own trial, testified to those people, the leadership, the priest. And he started with Abraham. And everything, recited everything that the nation of Israel had done, from going down to Egypt, being delivered in the Exodus, failing to go take the promised land the first time, then taking over the promised land, failing, and so forth, and bring it to the culmination of the fact that you have killed the one that your prophets proclaimed was going to be our deliverer. And it was at that point when he finally told them that they had killed Jesus, that they came and they started to attack him. But in Acts 7:55, it says, "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" It says, "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they stoned Stephen, as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep. As Jesus hung on that cross, he said, 'Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do.' Stephen, as they were killing him, said, 'Lord, don't hold this sin against them.'" Could we be at the point where we would understand the Scripture and be so full of the Holy Spirit that when we're under attack that we can say, "Lord, don't hold it against them, but reach them also, that they would know who you are." Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord, first let our sins be covered by the blood of the Lamb, of your sacrifice at Calvary. Let us be full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Let us know your testimony, so that it would build our faith, that it would cast out all fear, so that we could live boldly, and that we can be full of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your testimony. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. We thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.